The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Welcome to the show. Last week we gave you the nominees for the big awards for 2021. Today we give you the winners. We tell you a very important movie that Dave Richard has never seen that we have to rectify immediately.
Oh, I watched it last night.
Really?
Yeah, I woke up at like 3 a.m. and it was on.
It's so good. It's always on. Dave's never seen it. So, well, all right, that's fine. That's something we'll have to remedy. Heath is back. Nice. Heath, are you afraid of the big, bad Buffalo Bills?
No. I think... like most of the Chiefs season, this game will be dependent on them. If the Chiefs play their best game, they win the Super Bowl. If they don't play their best game, they'll lose to one of the next three teams.
Okay.
As opposed to how it'll go for all the other teams in the league.
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think that the other teams, I think that the Chiefs' best is better than anybody else's best.
I
would take the Packers' best over the Chiefs' best.
I like the Bills' best over the Chiefs' best.
I don't know, man. I cannot wait for this game.
It's Super Bowl 55.5.
Yes. So anyway, we'll talk. We'll talk about the awards later, and not doing game previews today. We're doing our PPR mock draft. We're reviewing the PPR mock draft that we did last week, just to give you the lay of the land right now, months and months before draft season. But what we're thinking right now, as the regular season is over. So actually, let's start with that. Let's start with the best pick from the 12 team, three wide receiver plus a flex, full PPR mock draft that we did last week. Jamie, what was in your mind the best pick? Dave is going to give us the worst pick, and Heath is going to give us a brand new category of pick. But Jamie, what was the best pick of the draft?
I'm going to say, but since we talked about it on Monday's show, I'll be different. But the best pick was your pick of Cam Akers. So I'm going to give you credit for that one.
Yeah.
But the next pick, the one that jumped out to me the most during the draft, and I wasn't paying attention pick by pick per se, but Dave's pick of Rashad Bateman in round 9, I thought that was a great pick. You know, just based on what he showed earlier in the season at times and the hope of what he can be moving forward. So when Dave made that pick around, I was like, oh, that's a really good pick. Also, same round, you know, just because I'm looking at right now. Dan Schneier is taking Kadarius Toney. You know, both those rookie receivers from 2021, I think, can be much, much better in 2022.
Okay, Dave, what was the worst pick of this draft?
I thought the worst pick of the draft, and I don't know who made it, was Mike Williams at 59. A late round 5 pick on Williams, who just has the makings of a guy who balled out in a contract year, going to get paid by another team. And then end up being absolutely terrible. I have a hard time believing that he'll be anywhere near as good as he was in 2021. I think he'll be closer to where he was in 2020 when he averaged less than 10 PPR points per game.
That was Chris Towers made that pick.
I'm trying to think, man, what if he goes to the Bears and Justin Fields makes the type of second year improvement that a lot of quarterbacks does? We know that Fields loves the downfield shot plays. Seems like those two could be a really good combination. I mostly agree with Dave. I don't think he's probably going to be worth the 5th-round pick, but I like that idea.
See, I could see a scenario like where he goes to Arizona, you know, or something like that, you know, where they're going to have 3 openings. And then it's, oh, he's with Kyler Murray. He's going to be awesome. And I agree with both of you. You know, I think it's going to be one of those situations where he gets overdrafted. But it would be nice to see him go to a situation where he's with a very good quarterback like he was in the last 2 years.
He would be a great guy to be opposite Devontae Adams in Green Bay if everybody's still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is he a late round 5 pick there? Because that's the most exciting scenario that we've painted in the last.
Yeah, I don't think anywhere he should be a round 5 pick, but he probably will be because people get excited about what he did and has the potential still to do. But he probably will never do it again.
Yeah, well, it's also a point in the draft. Well, first of all, we didn't have rankings. We didn't have updated, which makes it tough. We didn't have updated 2022 rankings or anything. But it's a point in the draft where wide receiver really does start to thin out. Okay, you're almost 60 picks in. It's a three-receiver full PPR league, so people go nuts at wide receiver. Darnell Mooney and Marquise Brown were the two picks before Mike Williams went. And then after that, you know, there just might be some guys that you forget about because they're not in the rankings. Amon-Ra St. Brown came off the board. Hunter Renfro, Odell Beckham, Adam Thielen, Robert Woods, just to give you an idea of who Mike Williams was taken ahead of.
Also be going ahead of Mike Williams.
Yes.
Okay, next category. Heath, you have the honor of this brand new category, the make or breakiest pick of this draft.
I think it has to be Christian McCaffrey at fourth overall because he could be a steal at fourth overall. He could be the best player in fantasy and 20% better than anyone else, as he has been in the past. Or it could be a third consecutive year if you get four games out of Christian McCaffrey.
And I'd picked him.
How many games he's played in the last two seasons?
Nine, to guess.
How many games has he played? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good guess. Nine. Dave?
Ten.
Oh, 10? Oh, okay. Yeah, I picked McCaffrey. I picked five of my first seven picks are coming off major season-ending injuries. It's the dumbest team that I've ever drafted, so I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, you know, the entry fee is $500,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. Great. I'll have to move some things around. Hey, but if you're listening right now, which obviously you are, or you're watching, it would mean a lot to us if you could just take 5 seconds to vote for us. I put the link in the episode description.
And you can hear my voice.
You're not voting for best host. You're voting for best social media award here.
Only if you have the internet. If you have the internet,
yes,
you can go there.
Right. You could be listening on airplane mode or something to a previously downloaded podcast, and then you might have an issue. But if you have the internet, it says on the graphic that it takes 10 seconds. You're doing it wrong if it takes that long. There's a link to click. It's in the YouTube chat. It's in the episode description. And it's voting for best social media for FSGA. And it's for Fantasy Football Today. Please vote for Fantasy Football Today.
The nice thing is that in that graphic, Heath is significantly taller than everybody else and Dave Shrunk.
I'm the second tallest.
I would say my height is more closely represented correctly than Adam's.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have kind of a hair height thing going on there.
You're 6'1", but 6'3" with the fro.
Me? Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm 5'9" in real life, but in this picture,
I'm saying in the picture, like if Heath is at his actual height, then your hair is almost as tall as all of Heath.
That's a good picture, by the way.
It looks like Dave is sitting on Heath's lap.
No, it looks like Dave is Heath's puppet. Like Heath is controlling him.
It looks like Dave ate 10 cheeseburgers before this picture was taken. This is probably true.
All right, let's get to the news and notes just real quick here. Cleveland might have I'm such an idiot. I combined notes for Cleveland and Cincinnati. So best host right here. Cleveland defensive tackle.
What about the Steelers and the Eagles? You combine them too?
No. Cleveland.
Eagles.
I was like, man, they're really thin at defensive tackle this week, but that's two different teams. Cleveland defensive tackle Malik McDowell was arrested. He allegedly assaulted a police officer. The whole time I'm like, why was he in Florida? They have a game this week. But no, he's on Cleveland, not Cincinnati. Pittsburgh is likely to keep offensive coordinator Matt Canada, according to The Athletic. And he got a vote.
You know what they did in Pittsburgh when they had so many problems with their offense? You know what the fans did?
What?
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, That's dun, good. Dun,
dun. Thank you.
It'll be interesting to see what he does when he gets to call the plays.
He might miss Ben Roethlisberger.
Kind of threw Roethlisberger under the bus a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tomlin did?
Yeah, he said the offense was hamstrung, I think, you know, with the things that they call, plays they call. Mm. So I think sounding like the interpretation is that they weren't throwing the ball down the field because of Ben.
Yeah, they were kind of throwing the ball down the field, right? I mean, he threw a lot of fly patterns.
That was, lollipop?
Yeah, they weren't complete.
Helium balloons.
Yeah. Houston GM Nick Caserio said to Deshaun Watson, unlikely to play for the Texans again. And he also said they are open to trading the number 3 overall pick. And finally, the big news, the movie that Dave Richard has not seen. Heath, you're not in on this joke, are you? This whole thing. You don't know what movie it is.
I have no idea what movie it is, but I can make an incorrect reference about it in
Let's see if you can guess it. It's an action movie.
I think Brian dies in the beginning, right?
Okay.
Yeah. It's an action movie. It's on all the time. It's within the last 15 to 20 years. I don't know. Maybe 10. I don't know. 15. Let's say 10 to 20 years. I don't know when it came out.
No, 10 years. 10 years.
Okay. So it's fairly recent. It's really good.
There have been three of them.
It's a one-word title. There have been three of them.
It's not The Matrix.
No, it's just one word.
I've managed to see that. This movie is 14 years old this February.
Wow, 14 years old.
Yeah, Divergent.
Yeah.
No, it's starring Liam Neeson.
Taken.
Yeah. There you go. Dave has never seen Taken. I was so disappointed when I found
out. I don't
that
know if I've seen Taken.
You guys,
there it is.
Get together and watch Taken.
Oh my God.
I would say it's an easy top 10 action movie of all time. It's that good.
There's basically only one channel on my TV that works anymore, and it's Paramount Plus.
That's why I watched it last night.
Like, okay.
On Paramount Network.
Then maybe I will catch it, because basically I just watch Yellowstone and I watch 1883. And I watched The Mayors of Kingstown, and it's all the same guy, I think, that created all three of them. And they're just amazing.
You know, since Paramount Plus is a company thing, I want to say a lot of people have been asking me for my Paramount Plus password lately. And I would say no, but I can't say no to my dad. But, you know, there's some really good stuff on there. I've been watching documentaries on there.
This was not a scheduled ad read.
Well, it is now.
100% true.
Your dad actually would probably rival Liam Neeson's character as angriest human being alive.
My dad, no. No, most courageous human being alive in the community. All right, anyway, Dave, watch Taken. Heath, watch Taken. Let us know what you think. Now, this is a paid ad. Dave, when you watch Taken, I have a feeling you're going to be cracking open a Miller Lite. Now, do you remember when your beer options actually tasted like beer? Miller Lite has always been a great tasting light beer for people who love beer. Sometimes what you need is simple, a few good friends and a beer with taste you can depend on. So, Dave, open that fridge, crack open a Miller Lite, my man.
That's what I'll do. I'll get on the couch this weekend. Well, actually, I can't do this weekend because football's on. Sometime in February, probably February 14th. I got nothing going on. That'll be the day that I'll watch Taken, and I will pop open a cold Miller Lite and enjoy. You said it was a top 10 action film of all time?
I would say yes.
Yes.
Jamie, is it a top 10 action film of all time? Okay, so now I can believe that it's a top 10.
Are we counting the superhero movies in the action genre for this?
No,
okay.
No.
Okay, so now I can believe that it's legitimately a top 10 action film of all time, and I know that Miller Lite is a top one beer, so I'll be excited when that day comes on February 14th.
All right, so it's you know, Dave loves it. He told you all about it last time we talked about Miller Lite. It's brewed for taste. It hits different than other light beers. It's made from simple ingredients. Miller Lite is for people who love the taste of beer. So Miller Lite, great taste, 96 calories. Here's what you're going to do. Go to MillerLite.com/FFT and find delivery options near you, or you can pick up some Miller Lite pretty much anywhere they sell beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Okay, let's talk mock draft here.
Hey, since we just got off news and notes and just tying in something from the other day, did you see what Troy Aikman said about CeeDee Lamb?
No.
So here's what he said on a radio interview. San Francisco rushed four guys. For the most part, they blitzed occasionally. But they're a four-man rush football team. But a lot of times when you say that, then you think they're playing coverage. They mixed in some coverage, but there was a lot of single coverage on CeeDee Lamb. Going back to when I was playing, because nobody cares, but what I see around the league, it's not just Dallas. I've seen it with a lot of teams. A lot of these offenses want to scheme things. The coordinators, it's all about scheme rather than, quote, this corner is playing soft. He's scared to death. Just run the route tree. Run a comeback. Run a dig route. Run a curl. Run anything. You're going to complete the pass whenever you want. Michael Irvin would have had 10 catches at halftime if they played us that way. If they played us the way they played CeeDee Lamb in that game. The game is not that difficult. If I've got a great player at wide receiver and a corner is playing in single coverage, throw him the ball, he's going to win most of the time.
That's really interesting. Really interesting.
That's what he'd been doing earlier in the year.
Right. Just give him the damn ball, man.
Right.
And you heard Peyton Manning said the same thing during Monday night's game about Cooper Kupp, because Kupp had a drop in the second half and he had a very, you know, mediocre first half in the game. And Peyton and Eli were talking about how he was like, if I knew I needed Marvin and Reggie in the second half, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, I'm throwing the ball early in the game, getting them involved. So he's like, by the third quarter, they've gotten the feel of the ball in their hands. They're, you know, they're involved in the game. He's like, the last thing you want to do is wait until, you know, after halftime to come out and try and get these guys going. And it's so right. Just get, you know, we've talked about this, like, you know, when DK Metcalf had his little, you know, lull, just give him some targets in the first quarter, you know, whatever the case may be. You script your first 15 plays, three of them, five of them, eight of them, targets in his direction. And these guys, it just doesn't make any sense why they don't do that.
I don't know this, but do you think that Dallas views CeeDee Lamb as their clear number one wide receiver?
I don't think it matters, but I think you're right, Heath, that, you know, it could be Amari Cooper, could be, you know, hey, Dalton Schultz is our go-to guy, you know, whatever the case may be. But it should be all these guys should have opportunities early in the game. You know, it's like the mentality of coaches, you know, I've talked to so many over the years. We got to establish the run. We got to prove how tough we are at the line of scrimmage. We got to, get our physicality and impose our will on all, you know, all those stupid cliches that you hear. It doesn't make any sense. Never makes any sense. You know, you have great players, get them involved. So if CeeDee Lamb's not the one, who cares? Give him, you know, two catches in the first quarter, even if it's a bubble screen, it goes nowhere. You know, at least make the corners think. You know, make defensive backs think. Make the defensive coordinator think, okay, now this is something we got to be, you know, concerned about in third quarter. I just never understand it.
Yeah, but I mean, interesting point. Get out of the scheme and just start running different routes and get open and, you know, take advantage of the coverage you're seeing. That is that's pretty cool. All right, mock draft review. First of all, I looked at three of our PPR leagues, three of our three receiver PPR leagues. Actually, one was a half PPR league. And I looked at the team that got the number one seed. I didn't necessarily look at the team that won the league, but just the team that had the number one seed had the best regular season and the first five picks. And this is really funny. In the June magazine draft, we did this in June and we played it out. Chris Towers had the number one seed going into the playoffs. Look at his first five picks. Christian McCaffrey had the first pick. McCaffrey, Michael Thomas, George Kittle. That's how he started his team. And he ended up as the number one seed. Then he drafted Tyler Lockett, which was okay, but I mean, you know, not great. Then he drafted Cooper Kupp. So that helped. Will Brinson in the Fantasy Football Today League, he just destroyed the league. He had a one-loss season. His first five picks, really good. Devontae Adams, Najee Harris. He had the seventh pick, by the way. Devontae Adams, Najee Harris, CeeDee Lamb, Cooper Kupp, Mike Davis.
And what did you say, Debo?
I don't know. But yeah, he ended up with Kupp, Adams, and Debo. in our IDP league, Gary Davenport had the 12th pick. He took Eckler, Najee Harris, James Robinson, Terry McLaurin, and then Kyle Pitts and Juju Smith-Schuster. So not bad. I mean, Pitts and Smith-Schuster, whatever. But Eckler, Harris, James Robinson, McLaurin with his first four picks. But anyway.
I won that league with my first two picks, were Antonio Gibson and Saquon Barkley.
That's amazing. And you played a team. You didn't even play Gary. He didn't even make the finals. You played a team that had Cooper Kupp.
So. I knocked Gary out. I was the sixth seed, so I had to go through the gauntlet of everybody that was good.
Yeah, me, and then Gary, and then the team with Kupp. But anyway, it's you can have a bad draft and win. So let's hope we don't have bad drafts. So let's go through the picks. Let's go through round one. And round one was Jonathan Taylor, Jamie, and so actually went Jamie, Dave, Adam, Heath, picks 2, 3, 4, 5, oddly enough. Taylor, Eckler, Henry, McCaffrey, Devontae Adams. Heath takes first wide receiver. When would you have taken Adams?
I think that's probably, I probably would have taken McCaffrey too. I would have struggled with that one.
Okay.
You don't have it ranked that way just because we posted the story. So I mean, look, my thoughts have changed as well. So you're obviously entitled to change your opinion, but you have McCaffrey sixth overall in your,
right,
in your ranking that are on the site. So just, you know, for continuity.
All right. So again, Taylor, Eckler, Henry, McCaffrey, Adams, Najee Harris is sixth, Alvin Kamara, Cooper Kupp, 8, Dalvin Cook, 9, Joe Mixon, 10, DeAndre Swift, 11, and Justin Jefferson, 12. So you've got three receivers, Adams at 5, Kupp at 8, Jefferson at 12. The rest are running backs, with maybe DeAndre Swift being a little bit of a surprise, but, you know, this is our first round. Now, if you're not watching on YouTube, if you never do, this is a good time to do it because we're showing the draft results. I also put a link to this draft in the episode description if you're just listening or if you want to take a look. Let's go to round two. Let's take a look at round two here of this mock draft. Jamar Chase is the 13th pick.
Can you imagine starting a draft this year with Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase? Like,
yeah.
How exciting is that?
Well, he went 0 RB. You know, I just... I'll just take a quick pause from the draft. We'll take a look at Marone's team. He had the 12th pick. He goes Jefferson, Chase, Jalen Waddle at the end of round three, Kyle Pitts, beginning of round four. That's 37th overall. And then A.J. Dillon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What do you think about that? I guess I wouldn't call that necessarily zero RB, but waiting until the 60 and 61st overall picks to take a running back, it's bold. So it's three receivers are Jefferson, Chase, Waddle, Kyle Pitts, and then Clyde and A.J. Dillon.
Love it.
And I can probably say he may have taken Devin Singletary if we had rankings, or Miles Sanders if we had rankings, instead of A.J. Dillon. Maybe take both those.
Yeah. Oh, Singletary. Wow. Singletary was the first pick of round seven. Wow. Okay. All right. Anyway, back to round two.
So imagine those two running backs with the rest of that group.
Crazy. Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. So that would be going back to the end of round one, four straight receivers. Jefferson at 12, then Chase, Hill, Diggs. Travis, so
you,
Kelsey.
You figure if, because Swift is, I don't think, you know, barring something dramatically changing, Swift is going to be a first round pick. He's going to be somewhere probably in the first 20 picks. So that's potentially Kelsey, if he's still the number one tight end off the board. It's potentially Chase, or it's potentially Tyreek Hill. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. So it's Chase, Hill, Diggs, Kelsey, the first four picks of round two, followed by, then it gets a little interesting here, Javonte Williams, Nick Chubb, Deebo Samuel, Mark Andrews, Chris Godwin, A.J. Brown, Antonio Gibson, and Mike Evans. So I think that first, maybe up to Kelsey, that's 16 picks. That's the elite wide receivers, the top six wide receivers, one tight end. Maybe that's Kelsey, maybe that's Andrews. And then, you know, a bunch of running backs. And then after that, you know, Heath, you got Javonte, you got Chubb, Deebo, Andrews, Godwin, A.J. Brown, Gibson, Evans. What are you seeing here?
Well, I think you should include Javonte Williams in that's the way it's going to be crew, because from what I've seen, a lot of early best ball drafts, Williams is actually going in the first round. So I would not be surprised to see him as a top 18 pick on a regular basis, and probably Nick Chubb as well. I don't have any idea what people are going to do with Deebo. I don't know how we're going to project him or rank him or where he's going to get drafted. I'd say round two is probably a safe place to bet. I was thrilled to get Andrews there because he's my number one tight end for next year. So if I can get him late second, absolutely love it. But it does get, it gets interesting after those first 18 or so. I think that the Godwin, A.J. Brown, Antonio Gibson, Mike Evans group, there are going to be people who love those picks and people who absolutely think that's a reach and it's too early for all four of them.
And Dave, what do you think? Are there any reaches in round two?
I can't say that there are any reaches in round two. I mean, we could say that the Javonte Williams, this all this stuff that's going on about him being a first pick in best ball and a second round pick in our draft, it's fueled solely on speculation that the Broncos are just going to give him the majority of the work. You think about where it could end up, though, and that's the high end of the spectrum, is that Denver gets a good quarterback in. Now their passing game is a legit threat. They don't do much to replace Melvin Gordon, or they even bring Melvin Gordon back but reduce his role. And then Javonte Williams has the chance to get you double-digit touchdowns and 1,500 total yards. And getting him at that point, middle round two, that's a steal. And so then he would be a first-round pick. But there's also the chance that the Broncos' new coaching staff thinks like the old coaching staff. They want to have a 50-50 split at running back. They find somebody else besides Melvin Gordon to work with Javonte Williams. Worse, they spend good draft capital to get a running back in the 2022 draft to come in and work with Javonte Williams. And they don't do a great job of replacing the quarterback. Then we're almost in the same boat as we were last year at this point. If that happens, I don't think anybody would take Javonte Williams in round two. So he's the one that's really the most, I would say that he's the make or breakiest pick from this specific draft at this point in time, because he could go up to round one if things break his way, and he could fall as far as like early round four if things turn into 2021 all over.
He's not falling to round four. He was the 16th running back last year in the split that he was in. So.
Yeah, but he wasn't really.
It's still not exciting. Like, yes, he ended up being a number two running back, but it's still.
But he's not falling around four. Maybe round three, but he's not falling around four.
But well, hopefully it doesn't happen. Hopefully he gets that gig.
If it were the same role, do you think what round, in retrospect, what round do you think he should have gone in based on what we know now? Like, what round do you think he performed like Javonte Williams?
Round three.
You think he performed like a round three pick?
As a top 20 running back, yeah.
He finished the season as the 17th running back in overall fantasy points. He was 27th in PPR on our team.
I don't know. If you just look over on the page, on the draft page, it tells you where they finished.
Yeah, but did you say, Dave? Where was he per game?
He was 27th in PPR points per game among running backs. He was 11.4 PPR points per game. He also wasn't consistent compared to a lot of other running backs. I mean, I would say that based on that, he's a round four pick.
The thing that you're hoping for is the Chiefs game, you know, when Melvin Gordon wasn't there and he got all.
Hell yeah. Give me 17 games of that.
And he's a round one pick.
He's a round one pick.
That's why he's being drafted in round two.
Yeah. I mean, I get
why he's a round two pick in our drafts and why he's a round one in best ball.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, here's, by the way, for the top 12 running backs in full PPR, here is where their offenses ranked in terms of scoring points per game. So Jonathan Taylor was number one, but it was 9th, 5th, 21st, 8th, 11th, 2nd, 1st. If we stop there, that's the top
One out of the top 12.
No. That's only 7. Only one of the top 7 PPR running backs was not on a top 12 offense. That was Najee Harris, and he led all running backs in receptions.
Lead them all in touches too?
Very possible. Probably. After that, there were a lot of kind of lousy offenses. You know, there was 23rd, 19th, 10th, 18th, and 20th. You had like the Browns in there. I don't remember the other teams that were in there, but you didn't have to be on a great offense. Could be on kind of an one. But Najee Harris was the only one that was not on a top 12 offense that finished in the top 7 in full PPR. And that's pretty typical. Anyway. Okay, sorry. Back to the draft. We'll go to round 3. And we've got George Kittle, Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley, Cam Akers, David Montgomery, Aaron Jones. Those are the first 6 picks of round 3. Kittle, Keenan Allen, Ridley, Akers, Montgomery, Aaron Jones. That's followed by Deontay Johnson, Saquon Barkley, Darren Waller, Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, and Jalen Waddle. Well, it's certainly, you know, no surprise. Jamie, it gets a little scarier each round. You know, do you lean tight end here? Because you got Kittle and Waller who are drafted in this round, plus Pitts with the first pick of round 4. Or do you take a chance on one of these kind of riskier running backs? You know, Barkley, Zeke. I don't know. You said you love Akers, so I won't include him. Montgomery was Heath's pick. Aaron Jones. How do you balance the running backs versus the tight ends?
I mean, obviously it's going to come down to what you do with your first 2 picks. You know, so like for me, I went running back. So I was looking more of a pass catcher as opposed to taking a third running back there or quarterback. So I would have taken Pitts personally over Kittle and Waller. You know, that's why I have it ranked. So if I was going tight end, I would have taken, you know, him. So he slipped a little bit. This goes back, I think, to what you're saying about us not using a draft board per se, you know, a rank list. But I think it's a good group of high upside players. Obviously, you know, Keenan Allen, you know what you're getting. Ridley, if he's right, and, you know, depending on where he's playing, can still have top 5 upside. So those 2 receivers to start. I still think Deontay Johnson, if the quarterback situation is good in Pittsburgh, you know, whatever they do to replace Roethlisberger, he still has top 10 upside as well. So, you know, I have no problem with all 3 of those guys there. And then, you know, you look at the running backs again, you see the ceilings, you know, what could David Montgomery be a full year with Justin Fields as a pass catcher? That's the question, but, you know, hopefully he's going to be just as efficient and successful as a rusher. Aaron Jones is a little bit of a, you know, wild card. Bark is a wild card. Zeke's a wild card. You know, who knows what's going to happen with all 3 of those guys in regards to Jones and Dylan and their split, Barkley and the coaching staff and what the, you know, play calling will be there for him. And then Zeke, clearly, is he going to still be the lead back for the Cowboys? Plus, you know, how much of this PCL tear is really legitimately the reason why he struggled down the stretch. So, I you know, we got a lot of comments in regards to Frank Stanfield's pick of Saquon Barkley. If he's going in round 3, I'm buying all day. That's probably a good mentality to have now. And then, you know, probably in a couple of weeks when we find out who the coach is, you might feel even better about that. So, you know, there's a lot to like about Barkley specifically in the 3rd round range.
And I think like this draft, and it, mattered with Devin Singletary too. This draft happened before last weekend's games. Right. Cam Akers is now a round two pick. Definitely. I would guess Devin Singletary is probably now a round four or five pick. Definitely round five. So some of these guys have moved a little bit. I think, and I was just, I'm just published my updated dynasty rankings at running back today. And Jones, Barkley, and Elliott were the three guys who were in the top 10 going into this year who are not in the top 20 now. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys bounces back.
Top 20 overall or top 20 running backs?
Top 20 running backs.
Barkley's not a top 20 dynasty running back. That's
I don't have him in my top 20 right now. I don't have a lot of confidence. Like, and I said this going into last year too, but I feel less so now. What percentage of the best of Saquon Barkley do we think is possible in the future?
Oh, it's low.
I don't know.
Could he be 80% of that guy?
I don't see why not.
I think he could be 80% of that guy.
You know why not? He's just too injured.
He's 24, right?
What's that?
He's 24, right?
He'll be 25 at the start of next year, I think. But yeah, he's 24 right now.
He's in a contract year coming up. We know what the upside is. We are hopeful that it'll be smarter coaching.
I don't think that's a stretch.
Yeah, I don't think that's a stretch. I when I said it's low, I think there's a low chance that he goes back to being what he was like in 2019. In 2019, it was 18 PPR points per game and super consistent. I don't know if that's coming back. But a running back that you can get 15-plus PPR points from in 14 games next year, I think that's possible. I think we saw how dysfunctional the Giants' offense was overall last year and the year before.
It's not like they have a lot of salary cap. They've not
two first-round picks, though.
We don't yet know who their coach is. They're not going to have a good quarterback. I don't know what the hope is that next year the Giants' offense is average. And if it's not next year, then we're looking at 26-year-old Saquon Barkley who hasn't been good in 4 years.
Right. And he could be on a different team. He could be viewed differently by the rest of the league.
It's kind of a make-or-break year for Saquon.
Yeah. Well, he's a tough one.
It's still hard to think of him as someone who's not among the top 20 running backs in Dynasty, though. Like, naming 20 other... I would put Aaron Jones ahead of him. I would not put Zeke ahead of him.
No, I've got him ahead of Zeke. Would you rather have in Dynasty him or Elijah Mitchell?
I was just about to suggest that.
I'd rather have Mitchell in Dynasty, but I'd rather have Barkley than Jones.
You'd rather have Barkley than Aaron Jones in Dynasty. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a two-year age difference, and Aaron Jones is going to be sharing with A.J. Dillon just as much, if not more, than next year.
Okay. So
I feel like he's safer.
He's safer for 2022, but I don't think 2023 and beyond, he's safer.
Heath, you took David Montgomery ahead of Aaron Jones.
I don't know if either guy's going to be in the league by 2024.
Heath, you took Montgomery ahead of Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, and Ezekiel Elliott, and Leonard Fournette. And you could argue Leonard Fournette should be a first-round pick. I mean, you could argue that. He was the number 7 running back per game. Mm-hmm. In full PPR, and if he comes back and has the same role, he's a steal at where Chris took him 35th overall. But you did take Montgomery ahead of, again, Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, Zeke, and Fournette. I want to comment?
Yeah, I just think their offense is likely to be a little bit better next year, which will give him a little boost, and I feel more confident that he's going to get a full workload than those guys. And I'm not so sure that he isn't just better now than Barkley and Elliott.
Excuse me. I just sneezed. Okay.
So I think he's in that range, and that those guys probably have more upside than he does, but he feels a lot safer to me, especially in terms of his volume.
Let's go to round four. See what round four looks like. This might be the last round that we do. Again, you can see the full draft results. We'll talk about our teams. Round four is Kyle Pitts, T. Higgins, DK Metcalf. Round four is always fun in these types of leagues. You get some seriously exciting wide receivers. But here we go. Pitts, Higgins, Metcalf, McLaurin, Lamb, Lockett, DJ Moore, Hopkins. Holy cow, look at this wide receiver run. I'll read it again. Pitts 1, Higgins, Metcalf, McLaurin, Lamb, Lockett, DJ Moore, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas. The end. Then the last three picks are running backs: Josh Jacobs, Elijah Mitchell, and Damian Harris. So, Dave, That's quite a wide receiver run. What did you think of the order? Higgins, Metcalf, McLaurin, Lamb, Lockett, Moore, Hopkins, Thomas, Michael Thomas.
I'm good with most of the order. I think it's going to be representative of what we'll see in the next few drafts that we do. We'll see if it ends up being that way by the time we get to July and August. The one that I'm really hoping that works out is McLaurin. The fact that Washington does have to make a move at quarterback, and as bad as he was last year, we know the talent's still there. And we've said it on prior podcasts. He's getting a pass for 2021 because the quarterback that we thought that he'd be paired with didn't play in 16 games. And the guy that he did get for 16 games, real or most of 16 games, I should say, really wasn't that great in getting him accurate footballs to catch. And you can make the case for any of these guys, any of these wide receivers, except for maybe Moore, Hopkins, and Thomas being late round three, mid round three picks in full PPR. And I think that there's still room for Higgins to get better. And he had a kind of a weak first half of the season, and then he really caught fire in the second half. Everybody knows what happened to DK Metcalf last year. Everybody knows what to expect from Tyler Lockett at this point. And for now, it looks like the quarterback situation in Seattle isn't going to change, and that Russell Wilson will still be there. If that's the case, then you can feel good about those guys. And then it comes back to Lamb and whether or not he's still – I think I texted you this, Adam. After that game against the Falcons where the Cowboys just ran roughshod over Atlanta, they basically had put up like a full game's worth of stats and a half. I think coming out of that game, Lamb was on pace for 11 touchdowns, and it looked like he was back to being the number one guy there. And literally after that game, CeeDee Lamb turned into a pumpkin for the rest of the year. So it's almost like we need to find out what happened. Did Dak, just stop like throwing to Lamb? Did he start trusting Cooper? Was Cooper complaining too much? Because there were some squeaky wheel games for Amari Cooper in the second half of the year. What happened there, and is it going to change back to where CeeDee Lamb is the no doubt about it number one receiver for Dallas? And if that's the case, then this is a steal getting him at 41st overall.
It's an exciting round. I mean, all these guys have a lot of potential. They could be this year's Cooper Kupp, perhaps. I was hoping to get Hopkins. Heath, you took him one pick ahead of me, and then I took Michael Thomas, which is obviously a huge risk. And then Dave took Josh Jacobs, and Peter John in our YouTube chat says Josh Jacobs is the best pick of this round. And then Jamie took Elijah Mitchell, and George took Damian Harris. And that one, I don't know. I don't like the Damian Harris pick. I think he's, in this format, in full PPR, he's significantly worse than Jacobs and probably Mitchell, too, even though Mitchell's not going to catch passes.
Adam, would you mind going through the round five names, and we can measure those names up against Damian Harris?
Yeah, sure. Amari Cooper. You want just running backs?
No, everybody.
Okay. Amari Cooper.
Think in your mind, how many of these names would you take ahead of the guy who you think will be the primary running back for the Patriots next year?
And I guess I should frame it as such. Is George had the pick, and he had the 48th pick, the last pick of round four. His pick, his team at that point was Jonathan Taylor, Mike Evans, and George Kittle. So he went with Damian Harris. Then he took Amari Cooper. Then it was Brandon Cooks, J.K. Dobbins, Devontae Smith, Michael Carter, Elijah Moore, Michael Pittman, TJ Hockenson, Marquise Brown, Darnell Mooney, Mike Williams, AJ Dillon. Still no Clyde, still no Devin Singletary off the board, still no Miles Sanders off the board, Travis Etienne. Remember, like we've said, no rankings, so things got a little wacky. Rashad Penny. So maybe those would have been better options, but I don't know, guys. I mean, Harris, obviously, he does not catch the ball. And we saw, it was hard to tell because the guys kept getting hurt. Stevenson kept getting hurt. Harris kept getting hurt. But really, when they were both healthy, it was very close to a 50-50 split. So, Jamie, were there names in round five that you would have taken over Damian Harris?
Almost all of them. Right. Yeah, I think, you just look at, and it's even the round six guys. We were talking about Mike Williams, so... It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's Hunter Renfrow. Depending on where Beckham is and where Robert Woods is in terms of their health and where they're playing, Thielen, I still think is in the round five range. He's still the number two guy there for Minnesota. So then you mentioned Devin Singletary and those guys and Miles Sanders. So yeah, there's I think some more upside when it comes to that. Now, granted, I do think for Damian Harris, in his defense, he'll still be the lead guy, so it's a 55-45 split, 60-40, whatever the case may be. I still think he'll be the top guy there. And I do think that Mac Jones will be better, that they'll probably at least one receiver upgrade to some extent. So the offense should be better. And you know that that's going to be kind of their formula, like we talked about the other day when we were, you know, recapping the Patriots season, that they're still going to be very run heavy. So Harris is still going to be a number two running back, you know, probably at the back end of it for PPR, but still a number two running back. So there's still a lot to like about him, but I think he probably could have waited maybe to the next turn, you know, unless George just really wanted to make sure he had Damien Harris on his team.
And Heath, who are your favorite late round picks? Have you had any, I don't know, round eight-ish, whatever, or later, that really stood out to you?
Yeah, none of mine. I thought that I had a doctor's appointment, and so I was making picks on my phone in the second half of this draft from my doctor's appointment. It turns out I was a week early and didn't even have a doctor's appointment, which was fantastic. Love Dalton Schultz in round eight. I think Melvin Gordon at the end of round eight by George might be a really good pick. I like Melvin Gordon a lot more at the end of round eight than Damien Harris at the end of round four. And Gordon might just be a number two running back again. He didn't show us anything this year or last year that says that he's dropping off. I think it's interesting. It's going to be really interesting to just follow what goes on with James Robinson this offseason after what we saw this past weekend from Cam Akers. I am really hopeful that we've had the breakthrough like we had 10 years or so ago with the ACL. Yep. To where now these guys can just recover from Achilles injuries and be okay. I love Dawson Knox in round 10 to Dan Schneier. That might be just about it. I struggled with the running backs. I took like Ronald Jones and said, it's so hard to know who the good late round running back picks are right now because we got like 25 guys that are going to be free agents.
Yep, totally. Dave, any late round picks that stood out to you?
Late round picks that stood out to me. Yeah, there's a few that I definitely liked. I would start with Russell Wilson.
Would you like to share that with the class?
What happened?
I was like, I didn't know if you were going to tell us who they were.
I agree with James Robinson. I think Russ at 152nd overall.
That was the weirdest thing. Nobody wanted to draft him, including Frank, who drafted him.
Well, what did he average? Like 18 fantasy points a game this season?
Yeah, but it's how he finished that is what people should keep in mind.
It's how he started before the injury. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm. At the very minimum, he should be a quarterback that gets you off to a good start. He's done that pretty much every year of his career.
It's going
to
be him versus Fields versus Lance versus maybe Lawrence.
And is Deshaun going to be in there? Like,
those guys have so much upside, you know, especially the 2 second-year guys in Lance and Fields versus what Russell Wilson has been.
There was an outstanding late round pick. I think Jamie made it. Antonio Brown at 122nd overall. Was that yours, Jamie? Brown, yeah.
Jamie didn't make it.
I thought that was a great late round pick because it's round 10, taking a flyer on a guy who had amazing fantasy production every year of his career, including this year. And yeah, he's a hothead and he's weird and he's throwing his gear into the crowd and he's quitting mid-game. And I am sure that that will not resonate well with a lot of teams, but there will be a couple of teams this offseason that are so desperate for a wide receiver, they will bring in AB.
Yeah,
so I bet he ends up going higher than 122nd by the time we get to July and August.
The way that I wrote it, and look, this was the case this year too. You know, he was getting drafted this late this season. Maybe, you know, a round or two earlier, but still it was certainly after round eight. It just takes one team, you know, and I'll go back to, you know, I don't know if a lot of people know, Josina Anderson works for us now. And she, you know, reported following his release that when he is let go, he's going to have people seeking him for employment, you know? So, just takes one team. That's all it is. One team given an opportunity. He may be done. You know, he may not have the same rapport with his new quarterback that he had with Tom Brady. And we know Brady's been great for everybody. So I take that into account, but yeah, if he's a number two receiver for a certain team, he can still be very successful.
Can I give one more name?
Okay. I'll allow it.
The second to last pick in the entire draft was Corey Davis.
I did that.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yay, Jamie.
Double digit points.
Yeah. The last three receivers I took, I was happy with just what I think it was the last three. But it was Antonio Brown, DJ Chark, and Corey Davis. You know, Chark is a free agent. He's only 25. You know, if he ends up somewhere that can maximize his skill set, I think he could still be really good. Obviously, Brown, you mentioned. Corey Davis should still be the number two guy. There was one other one that I'd like to mention also, and it ties into Mike Williams. That's Josh Palmer. Frank Stanfield took him. There was, I think, two or three people that in the chat room were like, oh, damn it, Frank. You know, and I was one of those. I think he showed you, you know, in some small, you know, glimpses and small sample sizes, you know, that he could be, you know, a decent player. And if there is no Mike Williams and he's the number two guy opposite Keenan Allen, that's a pretty good role to be in with Justin Herbert.
Round 12, 137th overall.
Let's talk about our teams real quick here, see how they came about. Start with Jamie, right? You had the second pick. Okay, we'll go Jamie, Dave, Adam, Heath. Adam's doing third person now, by the way. Jamie, go ahead, your team. Three receivers, full PPR.
Sure. Waited on quarterback, ended up with Brady, so that was, you know, perfectly happy with that. Eckler, Gibson, and Elijah Mitchell. And I only drafted four running backs, but I took three of them in the first four rounds. So it was Eckler, Gibson, and then after taking Keenan Allen, I took Elijah Mitchell. I took Travis Etienne. You know, who knows? He could be the best running back in Jacksonville, barring Heath's medical miracle of James Robinson. So Etienne's in a good spot. Brandon Cooks, I think, will be criminally underdrafted again. So taking him as number two receiver. The third receiver was a reach, you know, but the hope is that Jerry Jeudy gets a quarterback upgrade and is back to being the guy that we thought he could be coming into the league. Keith mentioned Dalton Schultz. And then, I'm sorry, one of the other late round receivers that I was referencing, aside from Antonio Brown, DJ Chark, and Corey Davis, was Marcus Callaway. He finished the season strong, you know, finally started to show some flashes with Taysom Hill. And so who knows? Michael Thomas may be back. That could help him as, you know, the de facto number two guy. If Michael Thomas is gone again and it's Taysom, Taysom clearly liked him. And so, you know, I think there's a lot to like about Marcus Callaway with picking the double-digit rounds.
Yeah. Heath loves those medical miracles. That's why he shows up a week early to his doctor's appointments. So again, for Jamie, it's Brady, Eckler, and Gibson, Keenan Allen, Brandon Cooks, Jerry Jeudy, Dalton Schultz at tight end, and right now Elijah Mitchell at flex. Could be Etienne, could be Antonio Brown, Callaway, and Justin Fields at backup quarterback. Dave Richard with the third pick.
So my New Year's resolution was to take more receivers in round one, but I had the third overall pick. Yeah. Screw the resolution. We'll go for it in 2023. Derrick Henry, top pick for me in round one. I did go receiver in rounds two and three, and I caught a lot of flack for taking A.J. Brown and Calvin Ridley. And I think a lot of people that had A.J. Brown are just not going to take him again. I still see the upside in him, even with Ryan Tannehill as his quarterback. Just makes sense to trust him as a potential high volume, maybe not the highest volume among receivers, but someone who can be absolutely phenomenal for fantasy. I think Calvin Ridley can be good. He can be good no matter where he goes. Even a team like the Jets, if he goes, maybe he replaces Corey Davis, and then Davis is a bum pick after all. But I think Ridley can at minimum be good to maximizing it to be a top five receiver. So really, really glad to take him in round three. Somebody mentioned Jacobs is the best pick in round four. I love the value of Jacobs. Probably going to be more excited about him this year than I was last year. J.K. Dobbins is my pick in round five. I kind of wish I had a do-over on my round six pick, but there was no one I really loved. So I just reverted to quarterback, and I took Justin Herbert there. And I don't know if there was really anybody else worth mentioning, but those were my top six picks. Henry won, the two receivers, Brown and then Ridley, and then a couple of running backs to round it out.
So your team is Justin Herbert, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, probably J.K. Dobbins at flex, A.J. Brown, Calvin Ridley, and Brandon Ayuk is your number three receiver, Zach Ertz at tight end. You got Rashad Bateman headlining your bench. My team with the fourth pick ended up with Matthew Stafford at quarterback, but I did take Trey Lance, who I'll be taking a lot, I think, unless his value gets just way too high. I think I have him as QB11 in my rankings.
Real quick, Trey Lance question. How many more games does Jimmy have to win before we worry that Trey Lance is not starting week one?
No, zero. I'm already worried about that.
Okay.
You know, you never know.
He's going to be a fascinating case this offseason because he can be had in a trade for not as much as other quarterbacks that are going to be available in trade. He's got a relatively good cap number. The 49ers actually save over $25 million on the cap if they trade him. So manageable contract, solid quarterback.
Pittsburgh.
Maybe potentially a good quarterback. He's got to stay healthy. But I wonder if the 49ers just put him up for auction and see which team comes out for him.
Pittsburgh, Washington, and Denver should be all in the mix.
Two more wins, and you for sure don't trade him, right?
I think it depends on it. Two more wins might get you a first round pick.
Look, they went to the Super Bowl. They went to the Super Bowl with him and still were not convinced. I don't know that Shanahan's ever going to be convinced on Jimmy Garoppolo because he's not that good. I feel like Trey Lance could.
Okay.
Yeah, he is. But I think Trey Lance, they obviously felt the same way, can unlock something else in this offense.
Yeah, but depending on who you talk to, Shanahan wasn't the one that wanted Trey Lance.
Right.
Oh, I really? He certainly seemed that way.
I think the story might be that the Mac Jones rumors were true, and he got talked out of that for Trey Lance.
Yeah, and what you hear is that John Lynch wanted Lance and Shanahan wanted Mac Jones.
All right.
He's playing veteran Mac Jones instead.
So, okay, that's my team is Stafford and Trey Lance, McCaffrey, Cam Akers, Chris Godwin, Michael Thomas, Devontae Smith, Rob Gronkowski in his prime, and Robert Woods is my flex. Well, I also have Miles Sanders. So I went with the all injured team. Cam Akers is basically the healthiest player on my team. All right.
At least you got a sure thing in Devontae Smith and Miles Sanders later in the draft. So,
well, those were not bad values at all.
No.
jerk. All right, Heath. let's see. Heath's team with the fifth.
I think I have drafted half of this team 3 years in a row. I've got Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews, Devontae Adams, and David Montgomery. I draft those guys every single year, it seems like. I don't generally draft DeAndre Hopkins, but I did take him in round four. I don't really know what to make of him because 2 years ago he was a top five wide receiver and only scored 6 touchdowns, and this year basically all he did was score touchdowns. So he'll be an interesting one next year, but I can't imagine he's going to fall past round four. I loved Michael Carter in round five. Didn't really love Adam Thielen in the middle of round six, but felt like it was time for him to be taken. And then really just kind of like the back half of this draft, Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, Trey Sermon, those are our running backs who are probably going to be on rosters. I did like my round 13 pick.
It's a great pick.
Will Fuller, maybe one of the most talented wide receivers in football.
So the funny thing is you make fun of me for loving Will Fuller. The 1 year that he finally gets featured, he's a top 10 wide receiver. He's one of the best picks in any draft. He blows the door off of everything, and you still make fun of me for it. I mean, what are you thinking?
Obviously, well, it was a year later, and he didn't play.
Okay, but no, he's obviously good. He's obviously a talented player.
Is he good or medically induced?
No, good? He's good. He's good. You don't just like take steroids and become a new. He's not the Incredible Hulk. All right, here's...
Whatever you took, take it again. Because yes, if you please. Get 11 games of that and 5 games or 6 games of sitting, fine by me.
I agree. All right, Lamar Jackson, David Montgomery, Michael Carter, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Adam Thielen, Mark Andrews, and Julio Jones. You didn't mention him. He is your flex.
You have 3 players that could be really interesting come August because Ronald Jones may be competing for a starting job somewhere else. Definitely will not be Tampa Bay. Sony Michel, same thing. He's probably going to be somewhere else besides the Rams. And Trey Sermon could fall in line with what has happened to 49ers running backs almost every year since Kyle Shanahan has been there. Take the last one, and he's the best one. And Sermon may end up being the best one if his draft value holds in the NFL draft.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to tell you who won the awards. The MVP, the biggest bust, the rookie of the year, which is just terrible work on the audience's part. The best waiver wire pickup, the worst waiver wire pickup, and the one game wonder of the season. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
We need some fun awards music. I don't know. All right. Welcome back. Let's talk
play
about
you off.
That sounded like a rejected version of The Price Is Right.
Yeah, I know. That's why I stopped.
Okay, showdown music.
I'm going to get sued. This is Two Prices Right. So here we go. MVP. Our candidates were Cooper Kupp, Jonathan Taylor, Deebo Samuel, and James Conner. And the winner is, with 73% of the vote, Cooper Kupp. Okay, great. The biggest bust.
why is it? Yeah, great.
Well, I mean, whatever. It's an obvious one, I think. Although I think Deebo had a pretty good
I think
case.
Deebo was the MVP.
Only
I think Deebo should have finished second.
7% of the vote for Debo.
And
just a landslide for Cup.
I might have scratched out Connor's name and put in Leonard Fournette's name.
They were back to back in points per game. So I guess it doesn't really. Yeah, and they were pretty close in ADP, I assume. Okay, that category was kind of boring. Rookie of the biggest bust. We had over 9,000 votes for this. It was Allen Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Terry McLaurin, and Miles Gaskin. And the winner is Allen Robinson with 55% of the vote.
So what's the, like, Allen Robinson was all of these guys could definitely be busts. But I think Saquon was worse.
No.
Do you know what the best game PPR point wise was for Allen Robinson this year?
Was it week 10, right? One? Week one, he scored
10 points PPR.
That I think he got the 10 in the game he scored.
Oh, man.
I don't think he did either.
How could you say Saquon was worse, Heath?
It's the Adam Azer. I just found this because I was going through the list of your bad takes on Twitter because I had to add a recent take about bell peppers. I remember that the take of Le'Veon Bell was not a bust in 2018 because he sat out the whole year, so you didn't have to play him.
That's right. Yeah. And if you drafted his handcuff, you got James Conner, who was a top five running back.
Allen Robinson missed so much time in the second half of the year that you just didn't even have to. He was dropped. He wasn't even on your roster.
Give me a break. Did he miss more time than Saquon Barkley?
Barkley, we were running him out there for 15 for 32 and 15 for 50.
Hey, I won a championship with Saquon Barkley.
Can we show my bell pepper tweet, by the way, Schrager?
I don't know if the audience wants to see that.
Dave, you wanted to see it, right?
I want to see it. You're trashing bell peppers?
So I have this meal. I get one of those meal plans. You know, they give you 3 meals a week. And they just always put bell peppers. It's like the only thing. Two out of three.
We probably get 4 or 5 a week.
They're freaking awful. They're the most useless meal-ruining vegetables. I hate bell peppers. Oh,
you're so wrong.
Dreadful.
And I was eating shakshuka when someone alerted me to your tweet.
I don't know who that is.
Built around bell peppers.
They're just Schrager.
I like how Schrager's note gets in there.
God, they suck.
You know, Adam, if you send Ben your bell peppers, he will save them and then eat them like later in the day.
Also, bell peppers are not vegetables. They're fruits.
You know what? That's why I didn't put vegetables in the tweets, because I thought these might actually be fruits. If that is the case, then they are definitely the worst fruit. Because you could argue there are worse vegetables than bell peppers, but there are no fruits that are worse than...
Why did you leave punctuation off of the last sentence?
I don't know.
I like Schrager's response there. It's
wrong, he said. All right, let's go back to the awards. Let's go back to the awards. Next category, I really think the people got this wrong. I think Jamie influenced everyone when he was just so adamant about it. Rookie of the Year. We had almost 10,000 votes for this one. It was Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris, Jaylen Waddle, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Ja'Marr Chase won. So I thought
Ja'Marr Chase in a landslide.
Yeah, 76%.
I feel like there's recency bias on that.
I just think Najee was better down the stretch. They were both top five at their position.
Najee's better down the stretch?
Yes, he was. Except
no.
Yes, he was.
No.
There was one. Yeah, I understand Ja'Marr Chase in
the stretch of the regular season.
The fantasy,
regular fantasy season.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Other than Week 17, obviously Week 17 counts. Ja'Marr Chase won you a league with his
Week 17 was Najee Harris's best game of the season.
It was very good, but it wasn't
Week 16.
No, Week 17.
No, Chase's game was week 16.
Okay.
No, no, no. Chase's game was week 17.
Chase's best game was week 16.
It's like the 300-yard whatever game. I mean, it wasn't that much. But it's
the game against the Chiefs.
Was week 17, I thought.
3 touchdowns and 266 yards.
What week?
That was week 17.
Yeah. Remember, we have an 18-game season. It was week 17.
I thought it was a semifinal.
No, it was a championship. And that counts. That's a huge deal.
He had 19
deal.
In the semifinal.
But he had basically a 7-game stretch where he was just kind of and that was down the stretch. Najee was much more consistent.
But it's also the draft value, though. Najee, we expected to be good. Chase, we expected, I'm sorry, Najee, we expected to be great. Chase ended up being great.
Also, and this, like, so much of Najee's was in a Deontay Johnson. Well, yeah, they gave him the ball 27 times.
That doesn't matter.
Sure it does. It's a fine tiebreaker.
So you would have voted for Chase?
Chase was better.
Oh, I mean, but that's not this is a fantasy category here.
Well, you have to factor in where you took these guys.
Well, if that's the case, then fine, but.
I think the next one was a bigger miss than this one.
Okay, fine. Next one is best waiver wire pick. We had almost 9,000 votes for this. Our finalists were Patterson.
I like how you said, like, I swayed everybody. Like, I went and talked to all 9,000 people.
You did. They all listened to the show. Patterson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Elijah Mitchell, and Dalton Schultz. These are our best waiver wire nominees. Patterson, St. Brown, Elijah Mitchell, Dalton Schultz. And the winner is Patterson, 54%. Yeah, what's wrong with this?
He had like 45 yards in the three playoff games combined.
Solid point.
But he got you to the playoffs.
Who would you have voted for?
I would have voted for Elijah Mitchell.
Missed a lot of games.
Also on my IDP championship team, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Was he in your lineup?
It almost sounds like the best team didn't win that league this year.
Or the smartest manager won.
Was he on your bench, though, in the finals? He was definitely
Patterson?
On your
bench. No, I played him.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, and worst waiver wire pick, was it Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney, Cam Akers, or Adrian Peterson? 9,000 votes here. And it was Adrian Peterson, 36%. This is pretty close. 36% for Peterson, 29% for Toney, 24% for, did I say Cam Akers? Because I meant Cam Newton. 24% for Cam Newton and 11% for Rondale Moore. Okay, yeah, that was a good one. That was a good category. Thank you, everybody, for voting. We really appreciate it.
You forgot one.
What did I forget?
One game wonder.
One game wonder. He thought it was the one game wonder because he said Kadarius Toney, but he wasn't actually nominated for that category.
One game wonder was not on the spreadsheet I was looking at. I'm sorry. So
it's on the spreadsheet there it is. We're looking at on the screen.
There it is. Stragger, back me up here. That one's not my fault.
Yeah, it was your fault.
That
for
was
sure.
not my fault, you bell pepper eating freak. One game wonder, was it Tyler Huntley, D'Ernest Johnson, Justin Jackson, or Braxton Berrios? All of them in week 15 or 16, except for D'Ernest Johnson that week 7 game. It was Justin Jackson, 40% of the vote.
Yes.
Tyler Huntley gets about 30.5%. D'Ernest Johnson about 22%, and Braxton Berrios 7.5%. You disagreed?
I think this one's right on.
Well, who would you have voted for, Jamie?
Huntley.
Heath?
Yeah, I was trying to think of somebody you like who only had one good game, and I was going to nominate him, but I couldn't think of it that fast. So I think I would probably go with Huntley as well.
The thing with Huntley is, like, all these other guys, for the most part, we kind of knew they were going to be 1 week wonders. Huntley, we were chasing after the fact.
So what if you knew it?
Isn't that better if you knew it?
That's almost better, right? We told you guys to go and get these players.
Yeah, you know, we never really understood this category anyway.
I was going to say, Kadarius Toney had 10 catches for 189 yards.
Yeah, Heath, the Giants suck. Okay, what do you want me to say? Like, you've made that crystal clear.
I just think maybe he should have been nominated. Well, he had 189 yards in the rest of the year combined.
He was good against the Saints the game before that.
Yeah, he had 6 catches for 78.
That's a good game.
It's about as good as Tyler Huntley's second best game.
Okay, I'm going to leave now. We're done with the show. Thank you for watching and listening. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll talk about
Are you sure they're listening?
I think so. And I'd like to just say one last thing before we leave.
Good luck.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.